You probably won that argument. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm just so stubborn. It's okay. We'll find out on Saturday, and we'll find out on Saturday who's done better. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Laird and Mike Gottlieb. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts here, Andrew Laird and myself, Mike Gottlieb. I am at SportsByGotti on the Twitter. And Andrew, why don't you introduce yourself and tell them where you're at on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm at RotoWire Andrew. It's pretty straightforward.
He's very creative, guys, I promise. So we have our normal show here today. We have our weekly rankings. We'll do we'll do a whip around the games, and then we will do our DraftKings daily dose at the end of the show. So stay tuned if you want some daily hints for this upcoming weekend. We actually do pretty well typically. So we'll start off with our rankings of this week. Actually, a lot of familiar faces on the rankings, not a lot of surprises that I want to get to. But the most surprising stuff I saw was in our forwards ranking with myself, Andrew, and Chris Mozinski, who's also at rotowire.com. So you can find these rankings at rotowire.com/soccer. There's a link at the top for the EPL rankings. You can click on that and find it. It's free, and everyone can access it all the time. So we have the usual suspect at the top, Diego Costa, but you actually did not rank him first. So who did you rank first?
I went with Wilfried Bony, who I think is just playing way too well right now to have anybody in front of him, particularly a guy who feels like hasn't scored in quite a bit.
Yeah, Diego Costa has not scored in about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I think.
Of course, he was suspended for one of them.
Yep, but you don't get any points for that. Frankly, I think, you know, he's more of a, I feel like we're putting him up there because of what he's done previously, and I'm not sure there aren't a few other guys who may have been able to get in front of him for this week specifically, just that they're in better form currently.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, form is temporary, but you got to take advantage of it when you can.
Right, right. Which is why I threw Bony up there first.
Yeah, well, I mean, I threw him up there second.
Yep.
So it's not like it was a huge surprise to me. But our friend Chris Mozinski put him at fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little surprising to me, at least. He put Stefan Jovetic ahead of him, which was shocking because I don't think he's going to play. But we'll get to Manchester City on what you should do. Actually, we should do it now. Why not? At NJ Gunnar tweeted at us. You know, what should he do with replacing Aguero as a forward this weekend? Would you go with a Manchester City option like Jovetic or Dzeko, or would you go elsewhere?
The difficulty depends what game you're playing. The difficulty you have sometimes with doing it in the general fantasy Premier League game is that you don't get a ton of transfers. And so when you exchange somebody out like Aguero, who is, you know, obviously near the top of the list in terms of pricing, you end up with money left over. And if you're somebody like me, when you have money left over, you just need to burn it. And it seems silly to sit there with, you know, £2 in your bank when you're not really replacing Aguero with an equal player. So I think ultimately you're looking for a single player match that you're going to get as much, you know, try to get as much value as you can out of them. And Aguero is the top priced player in the game. And so the positive is that you get your pick of anybody, pretty much. My top choices would be Diego Costa, if you didn't already have him there with Aguero. Well done to you if you have both. I think Robin Van Persie is certainly a good option. And after that, I feel like, I guess you could throw Wayne Rooney in there also. But after that, I feel like it's a lot of question marks, and you basically need to find another player to help match the lost production as opposed to those guys. So, you know, if you pick up somebody like Lukaku or Bony, who are, you know, £3 and £4 cheaper, you know, that's a good amount of money that you can then throw in a midfielder or something like that. But, you know, you're ultimately playing a quantity as opposed to quality game there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it was me, I don't really know what I would, if I would hope that I had a backup that's worthwhile that I can just sub in there for the 4 to 6 weeks, but I'd have to consider dropping him and see if I can just grab Costa. I think that would be if I was going to drop him, I would just drop him for Costa.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, you know, and then just spend the money elsewhere other weeks, just, you know, periodically, because you only get one free transfer a week. So just do it over time.
Yeah.
And then FPL.
Right. Well, I think you kind of earn them as they go on, but yeah, it's not, you know, it's, you're, you've lost the best player in the game, so you might as well go get the second one, who's Diego Costa.
Yeah.
And, you know, after...
And only spend one transfer, most importantly.
Exactly, exactly.
That's almost as best... That's just as good as the currency, because otherwise you're spending points.
Right.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, there are a few other... You know, ESPN does a season-long game also, and they allow you to have more transfers. Just they do a set number per...
Yeah, 30 per segment. So
per
30,
segment.
So
right. I think it's actually fewer in the second half, if I remember correctly. Whatever it is, though, we're almost to the end of it. So if you have plenty left, you know, that's where you go. I did have Aguero in.
I did as well.
In Fantasy
Premier League. And we both made two moves. We discussed this earlier in the week.
That's right. Yeah. So I dropped him for. I don't even remember what I did now. What did you do? I'm trying to look. Look at what I did.
I dropped them for Wayne Rooney.
Straight up.
I dropped, and then I also, but then I switched Dusan Tadic for David Silva.
That's what it was. Okay. So I did sort of what I was just telling people in Fantasy Premier League not to do, in that I, you know, quote unquote, downgraded from Aguero to Wilfried Bony, but then I added Stuart Downing and dropped, Gabriel Obertan, who I had, he was what did we call them earlier?
Scrubs.
Yeah, he was one of my scrubs that now I have, you know, a more balanced team that allowed me to do that, because I had already had, you know, the ESPN game, I don't want to say it's built for stars and scrubs, but you can get a pretty significant team playing that strategy to the point where I had like the top three forwards and the top three midfielders on my team, and it's not like I'm playing, you know, Yoris Okore, who happens to be on my team. It's not like he's my, you know, one of my better defenders. So, you know, this game's a little more beatable, in my opinion, if you if you play that stars and scrubs mentor strategy, just because the stars far outweigh, you know, you just basically accumulate the points when they play, and if they don't, you hope that they gave you enough of a cushion to hold on to it.
Yeah, I fully agree. And and just going back to our rankings, I don't want to go too much into it, but the only other thing I wanted to talk about for all positions was that we ranked Andy Carroll composite wise over Diop or Sakho, and I just wanted you to give a sentence or two on why that is.
Well, he's starting, and we know he's going to start, whereas Sakho has Enter Valencia to deal with as well, and I think it's entirely possible that Big Sam could rotate the two of them in and out. And I think he's clearly chosen Carroll as the guy that is going to lead him, only because we keep hearing stories of the long list of players. The latest one is Wilfried Bony that he passed over in order to sign Carroll. So I think Carroll is kind of locked into that starting role as long as he's healthy. Whereas Sakho and Valencia.
That's a key phrase, by the way, talking about Andy Carroll.
Sure. But he's healthy right now, which is why he's ahead of Sakho.
Very healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Before we go on, I need to bring up the fact, and Chris isn't here to defend himself, but you are. How do you justify not ranking Aaron Ramsey at all?
He hasn't provided consistent production this year, and I don't think the opportunity is there.
Well, we talk about, and you love the phrase of how past performance is no
correct, and then I and that's got, why and that's why I said I don't see there's opportunity there either.
So despite 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 3 matches, that's not playing well enough against any opponent, let alone you know, home against Newcastle, to warrant even a top 20 or top 15, I guess we do.
I mean, I considered it, but. I mean, who was I going to? I mean, I could have replaced him for Sigurdsson. I probably could have. I put Santi Cazorla in because I liked the fact that, I don't know, I just, when I watch Arsenal play, like, I see Santi Cazorla setting up shots and also taking shots himself. Whereas.
You know who's finishing those shots now? Aaron Ramsey.
No, I'm hoping it's going to be Olivier Giroud, actually.
Yeah. Aaron
Ramsey's so streaky. Actually, like, he'll have a streak of like 4 games that he's great, and then he'll go 6 without anything.
Yeah, I see. I want to correct myself here. Mozinski did rank him 7th, so you're really the only one who's going to regret
that's
this.
That's fine. I have no problem saying that I don't like Aaron Ramsey. That's fair.
I just think, I mean, Juan Mata with Angel Di Maria back, I can't. Mile Jednak, I mean, come on now.
First
come on now.
First of all, one of those two players takes the penalty kicks for his team and all the free kicks in attacking areas. So you want to talk about opportunity, that's opportunity. And then Juan Mata, he's played – I mean, you're right. I mean, I probably could have replaced Juan Mata. I could have. I'm not going to try. I'm just, that was probably personal preference and some bias against Arsenal and some bias for a former Chelsea player that I loved. It's a maybe Juan Mata shouldn't be there.
But, I consider Mata only.
But when you get below the top, let's say 10, you're throwing darts.
Well, I didn't consider Ramsey a dart. I very much consider him.
I consider Ramsey at the equal likes of Cazola. Even I feel like I'm throwing darts at a streaky player. Like, if I catch him in the street, that's great. But if he's already streaked, it's like, okay. You know, kind of like, you know, I wrote about it on Monday with John Walters. You know, it's like, congratulations, you've just missed the fact that you just missed the best stretch of John Walters this season.
So are you seeing a 15-goal season from Jednak?
I'm not going to say it would surprise me.
Okay. That would shock me. But I will be on record by saying that would shock.
I mean, when I watch Crystal Palace play, I would say that Jedinak would be one of the top goal scorers on that team. You know, one of the top, let's say, two or three goal scorers on that team. Do you know of two or three goal scorers that are better than him on that team?
Certainly not. Not to play enough.
And you have to think they're going to score what? 40 goals or more?
Sure. That's putting him at essentially a third of all of their goals.
I'd have to go back and look at the numbers now, but I wonder what percentage of the goals he has already.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now. Let's see. He's got 5 this season in 14 games. So double it plus a little bit. 12 we'll talk about. And
yeah, so he's on pace for about 50, about a little less than 15.
Well, that's what I mean. This is a pace that you think he'll keep the entire season.
Yeah, because it's not like he's doing like a lot of stuff that he's not supposed to be doing. I mean, he'll score from open play. He'll definitely score from set pieces, from attacking positions, and he'll score from penalties. And when you look at the fact that they have like Jason Puncheon, Wilfried Zaha, Dwight Gayle, Fraser Campbell, those are all players that can draw penalties.
Do you know how many goals he had last year?
3.
1.
That was close.
And do you know how many goals he had the year before in the championship?
I don't know.
3 in 44 games.
Look, I'm not.
And this is a guy you're saying could have 15 this year.
12. Not, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all. No.
Okay. All right, let's whip around this league before.
Do you want to talk about Charlie Austin? We can go back with Charlie Austin. Back with a bunch of players. Yeah. All I'm saying is the opportunity for him is definitely there.
Okay, I think the same argument can be made for Gerrard, who we've panned this entire season. Yeah, I mean, he's in that situation.
No, who's drawing penalties on that team? Luis Suarez. You've mentioned this many times.
Oh, sure. I'm just saying.
The king of drawing penalties.
Right. But we're saying that the reason Jedinak is so popular is because he takes their free kicks and their penalties. I mean, so does Gerrard. And, you know, where are we putting him?
He takes free kicks and penalties for a team that's getting free kicks and penalties.
All right.
I don't see that happening in Liverpool. Yes, but we should get to the rest of the league, though.
Okay.
You probably won that argument. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm just so stubborn. It's okay. We'll find out on Saturday, and we'll find out on Saturday who's done better.
Yes.
And at the end of the season, when we do our show at the end of the season, we can recap.
Okay.
How's that?
Sounds great.
You can tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
All right. So let's go. There are no 7:45 games on Saturday.
Sleeping late.
That's right. Going sleeping all the way until probably 7:45.
Yeah.
We're starting off with Leicester at Manchester City. So we talked about the Manchester City strike option, so we can go on from there. But can Man City get a clean sheet this weekend? They've had 3 on the road already. So at Southampton, at Aston Villa, and at Newcastle. Newcastle is opening day. So do you feel like you can start the Manchester City defensive options as well?
I guess. Although they had a pretty good performance today against Roma with kind of a makeshift situation with Demichelis and...
Yeah, I heard there were a couple of posts that were hit, though.
Yeah, they very well could have lost that match. In fact, they should have been down 2-0 within 10 minutes. But anyway, they were fine. Ultimately, if Vince and company comes back, you know, I think that helps big time. I don't necessarily trust Mangala and DeMichelis over the course of what will be 180 minutes, counting the Roma clean sheet. But you know, we keep going back to Leonardo Uchoa. You know, I just don't have enough faith in it. So I have City defenders, and yes, I'm going to start them.
Yep.
I think you might have said this game was at Man City too, and
sorry, Leicester at home against Man City. Yeah, Man City are on the road.
There you go.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, I take them all, and it'll be interesting to see who starts up front for Man City. Jovetic and
I have to think it's going to be Dzeko.
I would think so too. But you know, he just came back from injury. Jovetic, you know, also
and by
just
the way, if Dzeko and Silva come back, Dzeko is a very interesting option to me for daily games.
Yeah, well, they were back today. Both of them, Dzeko started today.
I'm aware they were both back today, but if they both start at the weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Dzeko is a very interesting option.
Yeah, he's...
Because he plays very well when David Silva's there to pull the strings.
And he plays very well by himself up there. I think sometimes he gets a little caught with Aguero getting all of the balls to him. But if he's up there by himself, he's a very good option.
Very capable. Yep. All right. And we said no Leicester options, so we'll move on to Sunderland at home against West Ham. Sunderland, who, by the way, play better at home. I don't know if we've mentioned it once or twice. But someone else we haven't mentioned at all on this podcast, Connor Wickham, signed a brand new deal with Sunderland. Is he worth anything in fantasy?
I'm staying away from him. West Ham has been playing pretty well, and overall – Sunderland has one goal in their last four matches. Two of those came at home. The one goal came at home against Man City. And I understand that the other one was home against Chelsea that they got blanked in. But they failed to score at Leicester. They failed to score at Anfield. And I think West Ham are much better defensively. You know, even with Sunderland playing better at home, I don't think this is the week that Josie breaks through.
Yeah, I wonder if Josie or Conor Wickham are playing.
Yeah.
This has Fletcher written all over it.
Yep.
All right, so we've talked about Mile Jednak, so we won't talk about him anymore, but Crystal Palace are at home against Stoke. Stoke had a goal explosion last weekend. Does that continue at all? Do you see John Walters and Peter Crouch hooking up for more goals and assists?
I get the Crouch thing. That you know, we've been panning him all season that he's completely unable to score with his feet, and lo and behold, he scores them with his feet.
Not only did he score with his feet, but he had to use his feet to get down the field quickly within the first minute to actually score. It was a great usage of his feet.
I think it was 19 seconds that they scored.
Yeah, I think it takes him about 5 seconds with his long legs across the entire field.
All nine steps to get
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's not an average-sized human.
Right, right. They're just so tough to pick the guy who's going to score. And that's what makes me, you know, hesitate to pick any of them in like a daily league, just because they're almost too balanced, you know, other than Crouch, I guess. And I don't have nearly enough faith in him to score two games in a row, but Palace have been pretty leaky all season.
Someone of the three of us ranked Bojan.
Yeah, I think it's Bojan.
Babyface Bojan, that's what it is.
Yeah, it was...
It was Chris.
Yeah, it was the guy who's not here to defend himself. But, yeah, I mean, he obviously is taking a shot at who it's going to be. You know, I guess he's one of the better options, but...
He's a winger, though, so, I mean, I can't ever predict which wingers are going to score.
Yeah.
Except Cristiano Ronaldo and Bale. I know they're
going to score. Right.
And they technically play the wing, but that's never the case.
Yeah. Bojan's got two goals in five games. So, you know, he starts, he gets plenty of playing time, so takes a good number of shots every game. So he certainly puts himself in the position to do that, whereas Crouch can kind of go silent in some games. But
Speaking of which, how do you go from Barcelona to Stoke?
yeah, that's a tough one.
And you're still young, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like what Alex Song did going to West Ham. You know, it's you go where the playing time is.
I guess so. And are Yannick Bolasie and Mile Jednak fantasy relevant or just on a hot streak? I think I know your feelings on Jednak, but what about Yannick
Bolasie? Well, yeah, I mean, Jednak is obviously the 2015 Ballon d'Or winner. So Bolasie, he's been very, very good lately. I think he's... he's more valuable in those leagues that give you those
draft 11 points.
I don't want to go so far as, you know, those defensive options, but, you know, the, you know, passes completed and you know, interceptions, dribbles. Like,
he's a great dribbler.
Yeah. They had a few, he and Zaha had two rather impressive ones last weekend.
Yeah,
that I saw a few.
I told you he's Yaya Toure without a shot.
Yeah, which is something.
he can do everything except shoot.
Yeah, which is kind of a big part of fantasy soccer.
I'm aware. do you remember what Jason Kidd's old nickname was in basketball?
No.
Ason Kidd, because he's got no J.
So, there you go.
That's kind of what I'm feeling with Yannick Bolasie, except he has no J in his name, so I can't make that joke.
Right.
But that's literally what his game is like. He can pass, he can dribble, he can tackle, he can get up and down the pitch. He's fast enough to get up and down to go box to box as a midfielder. He just can't shoot.
Yeah, he's clearly very valuable to them. I think he's one of those guys who's more valuable in real life than in fantasy.
A Nemanja Matic type, if you will.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that's a good comparison.
Sweet. All right, so
Matic is 1,000 times better, but
that's true. Matic light. All right, so we'll go on to Burnley.
Can't believe we just compared Yannick Bolasie to Matic and Yaya Toure.
Hey, watch him play. Just watch him play a full game.
I don't know why anybody listens to this.
You know, I can make wild statements on this podcast. If no one's there to hear them, do I really make wild statements?
We'll apologize to NJ Gunner, who's the only one who confirmed listening.
Is it Gunner or Gooner?
Oh, it might be Gooner, excuse me.
Aha, see, I even know, whatever. No big deal.
Burnley Southampton.
Yes, thank you. Southampton, we said it 3 weeks ago. We said it 4 weeks ago. We were going to find out a lot about Southampton. And how many points did they get in their last 3 weeks?
Zero.
So that's all I think you need to know about their title contention or European aspirations. But can they recover from their recent cold streak against Burnley? At Burnley, which is not the easiest place to play.
I'm going to casually disagree that it completely takes them out of European competition. And the reason I say this is, as somebody who has watched a fair number of Arsenal matches over the years where they absolutely never beat the teams above them.
Oh, that is solely true.
They're in the Champions League every year. Not that I'm saying Southampton's going top four, but you can't tell me that they're not going to qualify for Europa having lost to, you know, Manchester City, who, if I remember my history, are the reigning champions. Arsenal, who we just say are go to the Champions League every year, so they're above them. And Man United, which obviously was a very close match, closer than the scoreline indicated, which we can discuss with the Man United preview later. But I think, yes, they got beat by Man City and they lost to Arsenal, which are matches that are, you know, those are matches Arsenal would lose, you know, 4-0 to Man City and 6-0 to Chelsea, and they would still go to the Champions League. So I think this Burnley match, and basically the next three before they play Chelsea, I think Burnley, Everton, and Crystal Palace are much more important for the rest of their season than Man City, Arsenal, and Man United. That if they can continue to beat the teams below them, or at least draw, you know, those mid-table teams like Everton and Tottenham, if they can draw those and continue to beat Burnley, Crystal Palace, QPR, you know, those teams, they very well have a shot at Europa. So yeah, I think they definitely bounce back.
You think they still finish top six?
I think they do. Yeah, I do.
Or sorry, top five. Six is to get Europa.
Yeah. Unless they win the FA Cup.
That is a tall ask. I mean, I would say West Ham's more primed for a Europa spot than Southampton.
I think they're going to be there. I think they're both going to be in that realm.
I still see a very large drop from Southampton coming still.
That's fair.
And I think both me and Kevin King Boateng said that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I think
it's good. It's a tough stretch. Don't get me wrong, but the teams that have European contentions find a way to get at least a point or two.
Not Arsenal.
Like I said, people with real European.
Hey, every they go every year.
And they disappoint every year. When was the last time they won something not called the FA Cup?
We're not talking about Southampton winning the Champions League. We're just talking about them finishing somewhere. Right.
They're Arsenal without the depth.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you very far, and that's not going to get you to Europe. That's for sure.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure I don't think we've seen enough of them to write them off. I think these last three matches are three matches out of 38 against teams that are better than them. And if they beat everybody that they were supposed to play, we'd be talking about them as title contenders, but we're not. We're talking about them in the same group as Everton.
Well, people were talking about them as title contenders in second.
Nobody really meant that. But we're talking about them in this grouping of West Ham, Everton, Tottenham, Liverpool.
Tottenham and West Ham above all three of them. Anyway, it's fair enough. I understand what you're saying. It's a fair point. I just don't agree.
Yeah, they're 8 points above Everton right now. I mean, that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. It's a fair point. I just don't agree with it. Yeah. That's all. Mm-hmm. And we'll move on now to Chelsea versus Hull. Chelsea have one total point in their last two visits to Tyneside. Now they're at home. Is that exactly what the doctor ordered for them to get some more points and some more goals specifically?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a bloodbath.
Hull's been good defensively recently. So, I mean, they probably could park the bus and make it difficult, but do you think that they'll hold the fort?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the idea of them parking the bus, but it's easier said than done, particularly at Stamford Bridge. You know, they've been good defensively because they shut out West Brom and they held Everton to one goal. You know, they gave up three at Old Trafford, so that's, you know, obviously Man United has plenty of people who can score, but the last time I checked, Chelsea does too. Fabregas being out doesn't help. But
yeah, I was just about to mention that. Yeah, they don't have their main guy pulling the strings.
Yeah, but I think they're still light years above Hull, and you know, I actually think Oscar might have the biggest increase.
It's so sad for me that I have to say that Hull is such a disappointment. They disappointed me so much. Now that they're relegation targets, you know, I thought that they were going to finish, you know, in the nine to seven range at the beginning of the season, and it's so disappointing to see them so low in the table. I really hope Steve Bruce can turn it around. I really do.
Yeah, it's just a tough group of fixtures they've somewhat dealt with. You know, they have Chelsea this weekend, and then they're home against Swansea the weekend after. But then they're at Sunderland. You never know what can happen there. That's on Boxing
Day. That's my point.
But two days later, it's Leicester.
You don't know which hole you're going to get each week anyway.
Yeah, it's
really quite sad what's happened to them, because they have such a promising offense.
Yeah, my guess is they beat Arsenal in the FA Cup on January 2nd. And then they just go from there. Or they never win another match, and they still have that over Arsenal from last year.
Probably. Yeah, definitely.
Boy, am I bitter today after a thrashing of Galatasaray yesterday.
Yeah, you should be. yeah. All right, West Brom are at home against Villa. I don't think there's too much to talk about here, but Christian Benteke, are we really comfortable with him being back and as one of the top fantasy strikers?
Yeah, for sure. Yes, he's back. He's been playing enough, and as long as he doesn't slap Ryan Mason again, we're good.
Yeah, and does Sato Berahino need to get away from West Brom to be like a fantasy stud? Does he have the talent to do so, or to be so?
Yeah, I think he has the talent to. This is going to sound weird. He has the talent to leave, but he's really the only good one on the team, and so if opponents decide, hey, we're going to take him out of this one, then you know that's a lot of pressure to try to break through on his own. Yeah. And I'm not sure he's that good.
Yeah, and
I know he's not that good.
And a team that I thought that was the main contender for him no longer really needs him.
Who?
Liverpool.
Oh, Liverpool.
Because they are no longer in Champions League.
Yeah, I mean,
he would have been a perfect fit there, and he would have been dangerous in Champions League play because he's not cup tied.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they're going to spend any money in January on him at least. Yeah, probably not anybody, but definitely not him.
What about someone like Tottenham instead of going after Boney?
I think you'd be buying someone at his highest, both of them probably at their highest value. So I would go with someone who's been doing it for longer, because Tottenham really needs someone right now. They can't take a ton of risks because they need to win right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd probably go with Boney. especially because the Heat's been a longer time target, so you know they want him.
Sure.
Just stick to your principle there.
Why not throw 50 million pounds at Aston Villa for Christian Benteke?
I've said that for many teams in the past year or two. I don't know why it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You know, I know why it hasn't happened? Because that injury.
Yeah.
I remember before the World Cup started, I said the person who can make the most money for this World Cup is Christian Benteke. He gets injured a day later.
Yeah.
I felt sick to my stomach because I really love Christian Benteke. And I also liked Belgium as well as a team, but whatever. All right. We'll move on to Arsenal. They are at home at 12:30, as the late game on Saturday, against Newcastle, as we mentioned earlier. Lucas Podolski did very well midweek. He scored twice. So is he going to get a run here, or do you think he's just, you know, just a midweek guy because they didn't have much to play for?
I think it was a midweek thing, which is kind of disappointing.
It's so sad.
Yeah, the worst part is that they really butter him up like just before the transfer windows, and then he becomes comfortable, and then they stop playing him as soon as the transfer window closes so that they can keep him. But I don't know why he doesn't just force his way out. I feel bad. I think he's a very good player still. I don't think he can play 90 consistently, and he's certainly not going to play over, you know, Giroud and Welbeck. They played him sort of in midfield a little bit.
He should be aware.
Last season, yeah,
He's Andre Schürrle, but left-footed.
He doesn't love they both have something in common that they don't really love getting back on defense, which when you have zero defensive midfielders, you tend to want these guys to get back a little bit.
Yeah, because Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's really doing it on the defensive end.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's be serious.
Yeah.
They have no defensive midfielders anywhere, so why not go all-out offense?
Yeah.
Why pretend to play defense?
Yeah, well, they do, and they have better offensive options than Podolski usually. I mean, they had like six or – I think they had six teenagers on the bench this week for the Champions League match, including –
they put three of them in.
Gideon Zelalem, who, man, I can't wait till that press conference with Jurgen. But anyway, I don't think Podolski starts over Welbeck or – Giroud this week, and you know, he'll have to wait for that FA Cup match in January.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll move on to Sunday here. The old rivalry here, Manchester United at home against Liverpool. Robin Van Persie took every shot for Manchester United last week, all three of them. Scored on two of them, and they won. What does that mean?
It means that he's now the most consistent Manchester United option. He's taken the reins from Angel Di Maria, who's expected back, but I think it's very clear that Van Gaal wants to play RVP as much as he can. Not that that means he's going to play a ton. We had spoken previously about this in a Taga league that I'm in. Somebody offered me RVP for Sergio Aguero as a kind of an injury replacement. And I believe your line was, it's not like Van Persie's made of steel. So we know that Falcao can't start because he can't play 90. Apparently he can only play about 20 minutes right now, which is looking like one of the worst loan deals in history.
It's not because it was a loan deal. It's because they paid so much to get him on loan.
Right.
Usually when you have a loan deal, you don't pay an extra fee.
Right. Right. They might as well have gotten Fernando Torres at this rate. But it'll be interesting what happens to Falcao at the end of the season when they obviously will not want him back. And Monaco doesn't want him back either. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think RVP is the top option right now at Man U. I'm cautious to grab Di Maria in daily leagues this week just because I just don't know enough about him in terms of coming back from injuries and how quickly he's able to do it. But you know, Rooney is also the other option, but I think he's doing a little more work outside of scoring that takes away some of his fantasy value and gives it to RVP.
Yeah. And on the Liverpool side, they've been eliminated. The only English team to be eliminated from the Champions League. Do you see them going back to their non-Champions League form of last year, or are they just a defeated team?
Well, they still have Europa to deal with.
Let's be honest. They always play backups in that league. It's not. It's no one takes it seriously. I don't consider that a real tournament. What they need to do, by the way, in Europa is to make the winner of Europa go automatically qualify for the Champions League next year.
That's in place this year.
Good.
They did it. Roberto Martinez has said he's pretty much going all out in Europa because he realizes a top four Premier League finish is harder than winning Europa. But anyway, Liverpool, you know, they can go back to whatever they want to go back to. They don't have their best player still, and they don't have who could be their second best player with Balotelli. So, you know, I'm struggling to see who they score because Brendan Rodgers keeps pulling Lallana out of the lineup. I think he's by far their best offensive option. So, you know, when he's not consistently playing, I'm not sure where that leaves them. I'm not going to go after Raheem Sterling yet. Gerrard, I think, is still too free kick dependent. Regardless of how well he does with those, that goal against Basel was pretty impressive. But you know, Ricky Lambert, I take because he's cheap. I don't necessarily think he's a great fantasy option. So, you know, Man U has been playing better defensively lately, so I struggle to take a Liverpool guy that I'm really comfortable playing with other than some other guys in those ranges.
Yeah, Liverpool, I just like you were hinting at, like, I just can't predict who it's going to be. So, I'm probably going to stay away from Liverpool because they're not cheap enough where it's a value.
Right. Right. Ricky Lambert's the only one who seems to be getting value.
It's just not consistent enough.
Yeah, I did notice that.
I'd rather go lower for like Uchoa.
Right. Yeah. Fabio Barini is all but gone, which is weird. You know, gone in terms of playing time, not so much of leaving Liverpool.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they don't give him a few more minutes, but he wasn't even in the 18.
Probably because he can't earn it.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the 18 for the Basel.
I'm pretty sure Brendan Rodgers, if someone was doing that well offensively in practice, that he'd put him in.
Yeah, that's
fair. It's not like they are scoring a ton of goals.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's the way I'd put that. But at 11 o'clock on Sunday, we have Swansea at home against Tottenham. We're going to play our favorite game, either or. So
we got to come up with a better name for that.
Yeah, probably. I'm not the creative one here. That would be you. I make terrible, terrible puns.
Yeah, right.
So Wilfred Bony or Harry Kane?
There are only I think Alexis Sanchez, Sergio Aguero, and Diego Costa are the only ones I would pick over Wilfred Bony right now. So Harry Kane's a little lower down the list.
Yep. Gylfi Sigurdsson or Christian Eriksen?
This is a nice one. Sigurdsson, you know, takes their free kicks. But
opportunity,
right? But I think he takes them, aside from that 30-yard one that he hit against Arsenal, I think he takes them more to pass than to score, as opposed to Eriksen, who is able to score off these. I like Sigurdsson's upside more only because he plays with Bony. I think if Eriksen played with Bony, I would pick Eriksen. So if that transfer happens that we keep talking about, then maybe Eriksen moves up. But I like Bony and Sigurdsson more than the other two.
Gotcha. So that answered my next question. If you had to pick one side or the other, you obviously pick the Swansea side. So
yeah, I would pick the Swansea side, specifically in terms of this weekend. If this match was at Tottenham at White Hart Lane, I would still pick Bony and Sigurdsson.
Yeah. All right. So Monday night football, we have Everton at home against QPR. We're going to play some more either or right now. Romelu Lukaku or Charlie Austin?
I don't think anyone would really choose Charlie Austin.
Are you sure about that?
I am. Particularly this week since he will not play. But
well, obviously.
Yes, but
this was not a this week question.
Yes, I think Lukaku. I like Lukaku more. I think Austin may end up having a bit of a Berahino problem that teams will start saying, "Hey, if we stop him, maybe we can stop QPR."
Absurd. Oh, can we make Berahino a verb now? He got Berahino'd?
Yeah, maybe.
Perfect. It's perfect. That's right down my alley. Who says I wasn't creative? All right, we have Kevin Morales or Leroy Fair.
The big benefit that Leroy Fair has, I think, is that we know he's going to play more.
Yeah.
I don't know why Roberto Martinez keeps taking Morales out of the line. He and Ross Barkley, I feel like, should be as cemented in that starting 11 as Tim Howard, but they're not. And so there's a little bit of lineup uncertainty there. That being said, I would still take Morales.
Yeah, I would. If I were Martinez, I would have Barkley as the center attacking midfielder, Morales on the right, and then rotate between McGeady and Naismith and Atsu or whoever else they want on in the center of in the midfield.
We know it won't be Atsu.
But. Certainly not. And actually, Chelsea, I think, is going to pull him back.
Yeah, they. I mean,
I think they're going to pull him back and send him out somewhere else in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They send him to Stoke, learn with Victor Moses, although Moses is now back in Chelsea.
Yep. I would send him out to like QPR, yeah. Like a lower level side.
Yep. I think I don't even remember where I was going.
Or that. Sunderland.
Yeah. Oh, Eto is clearly the answer there, by the way. He doesn't look a day over like 37 this season.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So that finishes up our whip around the leagues here. When we start talking about Andrew Eto. we start talking about Samuel Eto. It's time to go to our daily dose here. This week we're doing DraftKings.com. So that means it's a goaltender, two Ds, two mids, two forwards, and your favorite position, the flex, because it's always a forward. So at least they both start with the letter F. So I'll start with my goalkeeper. I went with Fraser Forster at 4,600 out of 50,000. So that, 50,000. So that would be about 8% of the, 9% of the budget.
I went with Adrian at 3,900 playing at Sunderland. Yes, Sunderland's better at home, but West Ham is much better than Sunderland. So I went with him.
Yeah. I just, you know, going against Burnley, I always feel like there's a clean sheet possibility there. So Southampton at Burnley. All right. And
don't sleep on Danny Ings.
Right. It'll be Anthony Knockhart with my luck.
Yeah. I went all in on West Ham. My two defenders were Winston Reid at 2,000, which is a absurdly low price.
That's the lowest price you can get.
Yeah. And $4,400 Aaron Cresswell.
Ah, so we share a defender. I picked Aaron Cresswell, and I went with Nathaniel Clyne from Southampton at 4,400.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. There's no reason not to. If you recognize the clean sheet, there's no reason not to take both sides of it.
Yeah, and especially with Nathaniel Clyne, because he can get forward. He might score.
Yep.
So even if he doesn't get the clean sheet, he also has the possibility of scoring. All right, and my midfielders are Oscar at 7,000 and Yaya Toure at 7,700.
I grabbed Yaya Toure at 7,700 also. I think that's just brutally low for him.
Yep, considering that the forwards are significantly higher, which is insane.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's no reason for him to be that low, particularly when, you know, we're kind of nitpicking here in terms of guys that are out, but like, you know, Dusan Tadic is 2,200 more than Yaya Toure, which seems like a lot for Dusan Tadic, particularly since he's been hurt for a while.
Hey, if you have a badly priced daily game, I would love to play it.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about that.
I'm disappointed.
Right, another midfielder. I'm on pins and needles.
Aaron Ramsey at 6,400. I think he's just 6,400 is cheap.
It is.
It's
good value. It's good value. Yeah. I can't even argue.
You know, when James Milner is at 6,800, and Ramsey is at 64, I'm on that. I'm surprised I didn't hear Jednak at 5,900 from you.
I had Bolasie, but I subbed out for Oscar after I changed out my forwards. So go ahead with your forwards, because I'm pretty sure we're not going to have the same, considering how much budget you probably have left.
I went with Andy Carroll at 6,300 and Alexis Sanchez at 12,000 flat.
And your flex, because I know it's a forward.
It is not, actually. I went with a $6,800 Stuart Downing.
Oh, my goodness. You went – I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned.
Well, it was either someone like Downing, or I go with Danny Ings or Uchoa.
That's right, because you spent so much money on Sanchez.
Yeah, Sanchez got, you know, the Champions League day off. And I think he's going to be well in form. And I theoretically could – I'm looking at that now. I could swap him in for Diego Costa.
Nope, too late. You've already committed to Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
All right, so my forwards are Andy Carroll at 6,300. Can't complain there. Olivier Giroux, similar vein as you, but I went with the $5,000 savings at 7,200. And Christian Benteke at 8,300. Because West Brom, it's not like West Brom don't give up goals at home.
Right, yeah.
I think they lead the league in goals allowed at home, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's right.
Yeah, so there's a good chance that if there's a goal to be scored by Aston Villa, it will be by Christian Benteke, and that Aston Villa will score a goal at West Bromwich Albion. So with that in mind, I feel like that there's too much value there to ignore it.
That's fair.
Actually, yeah, and then I actually originally had Gabby Agbonlahor there, but then when I realized I could spend some money again, I put Benteke back there. Yeah. So that's our show for this week. We nailed it. What can I say? So for Andrew Laird, I'm Mike Gottlieb. And this was this week's episode of the Road Wire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. If you are still listening, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And you can catch more of our content at roadwire.com/soccer. It's all free. And check it out. Thanks again, Andrew. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir.
All right.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free, and it's all for you.